Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
All right, so we did have a conference, and it was called Impact, and it was powerful. And so today, we're actually starting a series starting today. Today's going to be a little bit of sharing about the conference. Stephen's going to come up, and I want him to share. He had some incredible things that he shared and some facts that really, man, they stirred me on. But we're going to probably do 4 weeks, maybe more, getting ready for that House of Hope. How many have a House of Hope card? Okay. You need to grab a House of Hope card for two reasons. One, so you can pray into it. If nothing else, make sure you're praying into it. But I hope you start to get stirred on to have the evangelism side of your DNA come alive. Amen? And what we want you over the next little while to learn is that you are called to evangelize how you are called to evangelize. You understand what I'm saying? Each of us have a DNA naturally that makes us who we are. So you have a certain color of hair if you don't dye it, or if you haven't lost it. You have certain eye colors, you have certain tendencies, you have certain desires. Like, God made you unique. Isn't that beautiful? That even though twins, you know, I have twins, they're not necessarily identical as far as we know, but you think they were. But even if they were, they have different tastes and likes. They're not completely identical. And so God's made you and designed you a certain way. And a lot of times with evangelism, what can get difficult is we think evangelism has to happen one certain way. But each of us are designed to do it in the way God calls us to. And so I want to unpack that a little bit even today. So the House of Hope is, if you've never been to a House of Hope, it's a great time. It's a really, for you, unless you're involved, for you it could be a very non-threatening way just to get people out on a Friday night. How many have actually been to a House of Hope? Raise your hand if you've been to a House of Hope. Man, we've had such incredible feedback from the House of Hope. People that have gotten rocked and blessed and healed. Even when we set up in the sanctuary a time for people to come in and just rest and be with the Lord. You know, I think Shane and Brandy early on, I don't know if you were even coming yet. And I just remember you guys getting rocked and blessed. And it's a great way. So we have prophetic happening in rooms in the prayer room. And we have healing happening in different rooms that Claude sets up. And these are, so people come in, sign up. And while they're waiting, they have a chance to be in the atmosphere of worship. And as if you were here, and we've talked about it many times, but Stephen also reminded us how we can shift atmosphere. So when they walk in, we want to shift the atmosphere that's over them, right? That dark rain cloud that may feel like it's always raining on them, we want to shift that thing out of there, and we want to see them get joy and blessed and touched. So it's a great way to just invite somebody out, right? So tell your neighbor, that takes a bit of risk. Takes a bit of risk. You know, I think God, we always know he's so faithful, but it's amazing. Lately, a good friend of mine, Greg DeVries, if you've been here for a while, you know him. Usually every Sunday morning, he'll text me something. And this morning, he's just been so on time lately. It's been incredible, prophetically and just even for me as a friend. And this morning, he texted me about just reminding that what we do, there's an eternal inheritance with what we do. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? It is easy to forget that we are on this earth for a purpose. Now, sometimes we are needing to be focused and rightfully focused, like we prayed today for the families. They are focused on raising their children, especially a lot of times the moms. That is perfect and awesome because that's what they're called to do. Now, for many of us, we're called to go into the workplace. We're called to earn a living. That's healthy, isn't it? But it's easy to forget at times that wherever we go, God goes with us, right? And that we're on, well, we shouldn't even consider an assignment, but if we need to for our own mind's sake every morning, realize that. But we are ambassadors of the King. And one of the things with this, I'm calling this series Impact from Home to the Nations because I was amazed. I wrote that into the just the description, and I was so blessed to see that the two main speakers really share from the home to the nations. So for some of you, you're going to go on mission trips. You're going to leave this nation and go to another nation. For some of you, you actually may go on a mission trip in this nation. But for all of us, every day we wake up, we're on a mission trip. If you want to think of it that way. We're on mission. We're supposed to be missional. I see blank looks. You know this, right? Okay, turn your Bibles to Matthew. Just in case. We know a scripture verse called the Great Commission, Matthew 28. What I love is the shift that is happening in the body of Christ, more and more to realize this shift. And I, if I could get across today, one of the things that I want to free us in is that you, again, are called to do it the way you are called to do it, with the grace that you're called to do it in. For some people, they feel called to earn funds to send missionaries. And if you're a missionary, Stephen, is that a beautiful thing? Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When somebody calls you up and says, hey, I'm a person that feels led to earn and raise money to send you. Is that a beautiful thing? Now, it doesn't exempt them from sharing the gospel wherever they go. But for some people, they actually have a burden to send people. That's really what their heart ticks with. You know, they just want to see people on the mission field. And sometimes they don't have the ability to go. So the best thing they can do is send. But again, it doesn't exempt us every day to bring the kingdom wherever we go. In Matthew, you know this, if you've been in church long enough, this is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So here, we do this well if I raise somebody up. Let's say that I meet Tim on the streets, or I meet Tim at work, and he accepts Christ as his Savior, and he just falls in love with the Lord. My job is really to disciple him, to be a part of bringing him, bringing him to my house, discipling him, getting him into a church where he can continually be discipled and I can continually be a friend to him. Now, if I do my job well, he should learn to be like Christ and to do what I do. Because if he's a disciple and reads that that's what disciples do, then he should begin to go, well, who do I lead to the Lord and who do I bring the kingdom to? Right? It's interesting, the faces today are just, that's the kingdom, that's the gospel. So often, and I'll be honest, so often it's easy for us to get really settled into our realm without realizing we're called to impact our realm. Anybody else realize that? It's so easy just to settle in to our comfort place, especially personally, I love our church. If I didn't, that would be a problem. But I love Sundays, especially a Sunday like this where the love is flowing out. It's just like, man, can we stay here all day and let's just hunker down and get some popcorn and watch TV together and, you know, beautiful, everybody to my house. But the reality is that a whole nation and nations need the love of God like that. We all need, we're so blessed to be able to have it. I literally sat there today and as I looked around, it's like the Lord was reminding me, because there's been difficult times, funerals and different things, but the Lord was reminding me as I looked at people. Where'd he go? Jason. I was just, again, so blessed, because as you guys walked in here, not knowing really any of this, and I watched you today just worship the Lord, and I was just reminded of how amazing that is, of your love that's, you know, yet last week you beelined it to the front and you were just sharing about what God's doing and how you needed that word. And I'm like, that is so amazing. You know, I could say that for Ryan and Megan and so Max, you know, and so many different ones that have come in, and Lisa connecting with you today, just seeing how you're doing and people getting blessed. That is amazing. But our hearts should explode for others too, right? And I know they do, but this message, and maybe, Stephen, you can actually share that what you saw before the conference, you know, how that was shifting us, a prophetic word, because I do believe that the conference And the series is going to shift us into that new. Right? All right, turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to share something with you. Actually, something this weekend that I really didn't have a grid for. So turn to. Keep going to 2 Corinthians. I'm trying to find my... Oh, there we are. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13 to 16. When Drew is here, Drew has a term that he uses. One of the key realms that Drew's called to, this is Drew Neal, for those that, when I say Drew. Drew is called to both church, leaders, and government. That's what he goes after. And he was using a term called metron. Metron, and it's a term, like, if you didn't know, it's like, what does that term mean? And to be honest with you, I had heard the term before, but I really needed to go and kind of familiarize myself. And I thought, this is amazing that this fits right in without even realizing it. So metron, if you look at 2 Corinthians 10, 13 to 16, it says, I'm going to read it out of, before I read it out of that, 10, verse 16. Everybody there? Oh, we got it up too. Look at that. That's so beautiful. What did I say we were at? 13 to 16. There we go. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure. So I want you to keep an eye on that word measure. That word measure is a gauge of measuring. It means also, though, sphere of influence. It actually means sphere of influence. So it says, we, however, will not boast beyond our measure or metron, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Keep going. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond metron or measure, that is, in other man's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Really interesting. What Paul is basically saying is, hey, I've been assigned a sphere, a metron, to teach, to preach in, and I'm not going to extend myself beyond what I'm called to. And I'm not going to boast about something that I'm not called to. How many know that Peter was called to the Jews and Paul was called to the Gentiles? And he had a metron, a sphere that he was called to. Isn't that awesome? A way to think about it is, if I'm a farmer, I have an authority and a sphere over my field. So I have the authority to plant the seeds that I'm called to plant, and I decide to plant, really, as a farmer, in that field. But how many would think it would be odd if a farmer thought he had the authority to plant seeds in somebody else's field? Right? I'm just going to go plant whatever I want in my neighbor's field. What do you mean you have a problem with that? Doesn't make any sense. So what this scripture is really talking about is that we have a calling, a sphere that we're called to, an influence that we're called to. Now, how many already know a little bit of what you're called to? If you have a family, you know partially what you're called to. So raise your hand now if you know what you're called to, if you have a family. Right. Your family is automatically part of a sphere of your influence. Right? Now, welcome back, Connie. It's good to have you here. When did you get back? Friday night. So good. And Odette went and came back safely. Pastor Marilyn, welcome back. How was this the storm? Typhoon. It was strong. Glad you're safe. We all were wondering, trying to figure out how we can connect with you, but so good that you're back. So in the case of Connie, how many know that Connie has, God's put a desire on her heart to impact Israel? At some point in her life, now actually, if I use you an example, before that, she was a teacher. So every year she had a class that was her sphere of influence. Right? It was her metron. She got to influence that class every day. And then she had teachers that she was around every day, and they were also part of her metron. And then she had family and friends. And later on, she actually got involved in government, was a metron for her. And then also Israel was a metron for her. What I'm saying is, if you think you're going to retire ever, personally, I don't think we ever retire. I just think our influence changes. Because if we're missional and we retire, you may get involved with a club you like because now you have the time. Well, welcome to your new metron. Really, welcome to your new sphere of influence. Everywhere we go, if we have a place of authority or a place of influence, and turn to your neighbor and say, by the way, you're an influencer. Come on, you're an influencer. Listen, as children of God, we got to realize we are influencers. So everywhere you go, you begin to go, hey, this is my metron. If you go to work, now if you are a manager or a boss or you own the company, every step you take up, your metron increases, right? So if you are just an employee, your metron will really come out of the influence that you have with people as an employee. But if you step up as a manager, now you have a greater influence. If you step up as a, you know, ahead of something, greater level of influence. If you're the boss of your company, greater level of influence. And so I'm just talking from home right now of where we go to work and what we do. But we need to realize that we are called to influence our sphere. There are some spheres that we are not called to touch. We're not called to. Like if I walked into Chris Lewis's office and began to tell Chris Lewis what to do, or the mayor of Essex, how many would think that's out of line? Totally out of line. Now, if I feel called to that sphere, how many know that I can begin to prepare myself to be an influencer in that sphere? Right? First thing I can do is pray over that sphere. Second thing I can do if I feel called to more is to get involved in that sphere as a volunteer. Now, as a volunteer, I'm not going to walk in there and start to dictate. But if the Lord really has called me that sphere of influence and he puts favor upon me, I will begin to have more and more influence to the point that the day may come where I actually get to bring counsel to the mayor or bring counsel to a member of parliament. But each of us are called to have a sphere. And we'll talk about that as we go through this series. But I want you to, if you take away, and I'm going to invite Stephen, you can come on up. He's going to bring some stats and some things that just boggle my mind, but we got to realize that we are called in our sphere to bring the gospel, the kingdom, and the love of God. Everybody shake your head and say, yes, that is good. We have to learn that. One of the reasons now I had this, again, I keep going to that stat because it gave me hope. For the first time, I thought, huh, if we didn't know the stat that he's going to share, I'm prepping you for a really good stat. We're winning. You're going to learn something. The church, the Bible's real. And it actually is true. And it says we win in the end. And how many know that we're making a difference in this world? It's incredible. So, Stephen, we're blessed by what you bring. And Stephen's metron is much, he has more air miles than I do. And I love what he brought. So, thank you.
Okay, now that's been built up. It's basically... So I really enjoyed the conference. It was really good for me. I've been here for, I don't know, however many weeks. We're staying at Claude and Elaine's, which we're very appreciative of. But it was kind of a good time for me to connect in and see people and meet people. So I just want to say thank you for those who were there and just how all the chats and the prayer times and everything was just really, really good. And so my background is very much in missions, but for those of you who maybe know the history of missions kind of in different organizations and different things, I've been part of YWAM with Andrea and my kids for many years. And I actually grew up in a family that was involved in YWAM. My dad was a pastor, but then a missionary, and now a pastor again. And so it's very much, you know, the whole role of the church, but also the mission field. I joke with Jay sometimes that he wants to fill the church and I want to empty the church. And that makes him nervous. But that's you know, that's what happens sometimes. But of course, we want those people to come back as well and you know, transform the area. But What I was feeling as we were praying before the beginning of the conference was that we were kind of unsettled in our spirits, because God was having us turn a corner. And you know, if you're driving fairly quickly round a corner, you have to kind of lean into it. If you don't lean into it and kind of accept it, the corner's coming, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to go around it. You can get a bit uncomfortable. So the word was just kind of lean into this and see what God wants to do. And you know, as you know, you feel that way sometimes when you come to something that's a little bit different. And you know, me being here with an English accent, slightly strange looking English guy sharing at the front, that might feel a little bit different for you. But you know, it's part, when God brings change, it's always for a good reason. And I hope it's for a good reason I'm here. But so the great thing about a corner is that when you've turned the corner, you can't see the past anymore. You can remember it. But if that's it, it's like the vision now is on a new horizon. And I feel God is giving us a new horizon in this. It's like a new goal, a new standard, a new timeline to say we're going in this direction now. And we're not going to stop. We've turned this corner. And so if you feel a little bit unsettled in your spirit this morning, lean into it. Lean into it. And say, God, yes, yes, yes. What does that mean for me? And so I'm just going to recap a little bit. So if you were at the conference, just bear with me. But what I kind of shared was on the first session that I shared was to do with mission as a global framework. And in YWAM, we've had so many bases. We have bases in like training colleges all over the world to train missionaries in 190 countries. And we are operating at 20,000 staff. That's not students that come to the courses. That's just staff. And we've actually had a word that we will be operating with 200,000 staff over the next decades to come. That's the word that we have. So God is doing something in missions. It's not just about YWAM. It's about all of the different church planting bodies, all of the different organizations. God wants to increase it. You just need to look at China and what God's doing there, Iran, and all of these stories that are coming out about God increasing his church. But then as he increases church, he sends out missionaries. It's just how he's always done it. I was sharing in the panel, God is a missionary God from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation and all the way in between. He is a missionary God. He's about sending people on mission. And the biggest person he sent on mission is Jesus. That was a mission to end all mission. He came from heaven to earth on a mission trip to save the world. And he's going to come again on his final trip. And I wait for that day. And so as we do missions, we are working towards that final day, him coming. That's what it's about. It's about the nations or the ethnic people entering into the kingdom of God so that one day Jesus can return. And Jesus is not going to return until that job is done. That's what it says in Matthew 24, verse 14. It says, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations, and then the end will come." And that word nations is ethnic groups. And so I was sharing about the amount of ethnic groups in the world. There are 24,000 ethnic people groups in the world. You were one of them. And, you know, tribes in Brazil and in India and in the jungles of Africa, they are also those part of those ethnic groups. We are currently looking at the gospel has been preached. And when I say preached, I mean the gospel has been brought to the people group. The Bible has been given in a certain portion in their language, and a church has been set up so that they can experience the full transformation of the gospel in its kingdom in these tribes. There are now over 17,000 tribes and ethnic people that have received the gospel in that way. In other words, we are now looking and able to record these stats in a way that we can see the end. that it's we now have sight that we can do this, and missions is increasing so rapidly that it's becoming even quicker now. We are translating Bibles, we are planting churches, we are transforming communities even quicker than ever before because of God's supernatural move and because of the resources that we are now having at our disposal. This is amazing time to be a Christian. So I want to encourage you. And so the specific stat that Jay's been mentioning is something that I took from the global population website for the United Nations and some historical research that was done in biblical studies and then something called the Pew Research Center, which is the body that records global levels of church attendance and global levels of disciples around the world. So people who are committed to long-term church involvement. And in the historical biblical studies version of this is that around the time of the disciples, the end of the lives of the disciples around 100 AD, we have a record of like Roman census that brought about the amount of numbers in the known world. And we have a ratio of the church being 1 to 360 non-believers. So every one believer in the church at 100 AD was compared to the ratio of 360 non-believers at that time in history. In 1995, that had increased from, it was now at 600 million Christians around the world and 6 billion non-Christians, one-tenth. So 6 billion population, sorry. So we were, as the church, one-tenth of the whole global population. And I'm talking about born-again Christians there. That ratio gives us the statistic that we now know that every Christian needs to reach 9 non-Christians. And if we do that, the whole world will be saved. That's revival. That is revival. And so today in 2019, again, you can go on the United Nations website and Pew Research Center, and we have the numbers of 800 million born-again Christians and 7.7 billion total population. So we have increased a little bit. We have gained. And so that ratio is just a little bit below the 9 now. You know, 8.5. You've got to see 8.5 people. Don't know how you figure out the half, but... So what we're looking at is this breaks it down to your mission field. What is your mission field? That could be done in the workplace. It could be done on the streets. It could be done in your family. And, you know, claim your 9 people. You know, we're talking about adopting a people group. Well, just start by adopting 9 people that you want to see saved and discipled. We're talking about born-again Christians. And there's a little bit of another stat that I didn't bring in, is that we have in the Orthodox and Catholic churches, we have like about 1.6 or 1.7 billion people in that church group that I did not mention. And so if you want to see a giant raised for missions and for revival and for the Holy Spirit to reach the world, then let's keep on praying for the movements of the Holy Spirit in charismatic Catholic churches and charismatic Orthodox churches, because there's a whole army that's still to be released there. It is happening, but there's still more to come in those areas. And so it could be even less. And so what that does is just breaks it down for us. It just says, I think we can all agree to see in our lifetimes 9 people. And you've done your part. Now, for some people, it might be many, many thousands more. For some people, it might be many hundreds more. And for some people, it just might be that 9. But I want to kind of put that challenge out for you today, is that wherever sphere of influence you're in, reach those 9 people. And so within that, we also see the other stat is that we are losing 10 to 20 million people a year globally. So when we pray for prodigals, these are the prodigals. It just so happens that we make that number back up and more. Usually that's why we've grown a little bit, which is great, but we don't want to be losing people. And this is where the whole idea of the spheres of influence, like governments and business and the workplace, is so, so important. You know, most of the people that come to church are in a workplace. They don't lead church. They don't minister at church. They're all in the workplace, except for 1/12. Drew shared about this. And so we are to reach the workplace. We are to reach the spheres. And if we do not do that, what will happen is those spheres will end up impacting the church more than we impact the spheres. And that's where the prodigals come into play, is we're losing people to the culture of the world because we stopped impacting the world. We started to be in the world and of it, not in the world and of Christ, bringing change. And so we need people in your sphere of influence to be what God's called you to be, to have that change, to make that impact. And I love this weekend because it was both of the kind of train tracks of revival and transformation that moves the movements of the kingdom forward. And you can't have one without the other. It has to be both. And I just shared about how Psalm 24 were, you know, lift up your heads, O you gates, that the king might come in. When God's presence comes before a gate, it opens. And that's why in your homes, it's a gateway. It's a place of authority. We need God's presence in your homes to transform the family, but also to be a base. It's a missions base for God's kingdom to be then spread out to your neighbors and your community and further afield. It's a launching platform. And I shared about how there are three spheres in society that have the authority of God on them, because they tell that in the Bible. And that is the family, the church, and government. And that is because family was given the first authority in the garden. We know that because God speaks to Adam and Eve, the first family. You have authority over your children. You have authority over your sphere in the home. And then we have the church, because we know at multiple times, Jay just read out one of them, Jesus gives authority to the disciples and the disciples build the church. We have authority as the church. And then the final one is governments, where we see in the Bible in Romans where it talks about seats of authority and government, that God has given power and authority to those people in leadership to lead. And these are the three places in the spheres that we see that influence and authority happen. But then in Ephesians 6, you know, all of the language in Ephesians 6 is all to do with spiritual warfare, is to do with governments and places of authority. So the enemy is trying to attack those places of authority in the family, in the church, and in the government. That's his main battlefield. Of course, he attacks in other areas, but he wants to attack those places because they are the places that make the final decisions. They are the places where your children are governed and discipled. They are the places where society is governed and discipled. I had, I'm just sharing stuff here, but I had the privilege of, after I did an MA in biblical studies, and I was invited by the Queen to represent my university at her birthday party, her 90th birthday party. And they took David with me, and we met Prince Harry as part of this thing that we did. It was a parade outside Buckingham Palace. And I just saw the Queen interact with Prince Harry. And it was like, you could see he was her favorite. Like, he just lit her face up every time. And he was joking, and I talked with him for a moment, and I told him that I'd been praying for him and his family, and he just really responded to that. But you could see that what was happening between the Queen and Prince Harry was that she had been discipling him. He had become her favorite because he lived this broken life. And in his teenage life, he had done. And I saw this relationship with with the Queen of England and Prince Harry as they interacted in front of me. And I saw that the Queen had been praying for him, had been loving on him, had been crying over him. I could see it in her face. And God showed me that Prince Harry was like a representation of the condition of the heart of England. And the Queen was bringing that discipleship, that parenting, that fatherhood, that motherhood to Prince Harry, but she was also bringing that place of the gospel to a whole nation. And if you've heard her speak on Christmas Day and you know people who know her well, you will know that she has a relationship with Jesus. And I just sense that there's something about discipling nations that God wants to release. And it might not be this whole nation for you, but it might be your community or your family, your ethnic group, your town, Essex, your neighborhood, whatever it is, as we spoke about it. But God wants to give you a heart like never before. It's not just we're saying we're going to do this. It has to come from a heart of the Father. And I just sense God wants to do that with us. Don't worry. I feel like there's a little bit of concern. It's like, how am I going to do this? I don't feel like I'm a missionary. I don't feel like I can connect with this necessarily. And I just sense, don't worry. God's going to give you a heart for this. He's going to take his heart and he's going to put it inside you. And you know what? It's going to change everything. It'll give you the grace. It'll give you the peace. And it'll give you the passion to do it. We always say we're often called to the places we pray for. Because in intercession, God imparts his heart to us. And then we go. So be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you pray for. Make sure you ask him. And within that, allow him to give you his heart for missions and for the nations. Amen.
And Stephen's going to be bringing part of this impact, so we look forward to that. Just to go along with the very last thing that he said, here's good news. This is a quote. It says this, "Grace, favor, and everything we need to be successful in ministry are given to us to accomplish our task when we are within our metron." You hear that? Grace, favor, and everything we need to accomplish, to be successful in ministry are given to us to accomplish our task when we are within our metron. So you can go home with confidence today going, I have grace and favor and everything I need to minister to my family. That's a first part. And then I have grace, favor, and everything I need to be a minister and a missionary within my workplace. We start believing that. So, you don't understand why I'm excited about that number? Because sometimes you're like, I got to reach 1,000 people. And all of a sudden you realize, what if I just reach 9 people? And what if you just reach 9 people? I actually think my dad's part of that half. Oh. Oh, what are you trying to be the favorite there, Faye? The better half. Hey, do you know what I put up with all my life? There are moments I get to give back a little bit here, so. Okay, so to close up, what I'd like you to do is take out your phones or a piece of paper if you don't use phones to put things in your schedule. Some people, you know, you go home and you write things in a day planner. Some of you, if you use your phone, I'd like you to take it out. Seriously, take it out. I'd like you to open something for Monday as a reminder, like an assignment. You could put it in as an appointment. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to put action to our words for this month. Okay, you guys good with that? So open up an event for tomorrow. What I'd like you to do is decide on at least 2 people. Put an alarm to that note, to that event, so you will be reminded tomorrow to make sure that you've thought about who are at least 2 people that we could go after 9 right off the bat, but for some of us, like 9's like overwhelming. So start with 2. And what I encourage you to pray about is, who is someone in your family? You could even do three, like who's someone in my family? Who's someone in my workplace? And who's somebody in my neighborhood or my friend network or my, you know, people that I bump into every day? So that's two or three. Because we could talk about this for eons, but if we don't put the step into it, then we'll just be talking about it for eons. So that's why I want you to put it in your calendar, set the alarm, and so by tomorrow, you go, okay, right, I have to really think about who I'm going to go after. And then maybe you set an alarm, a daily alarm. If you can go into your calendar, you can do that. And you go, every time that alarm goes off, which is the most convenient time, maybe you get up at 7, you do your devotion time, and that alarm goes off at 7:15, close to the end of your devotion, whatever, and you go, right, I got to pray for these people. And you just begin. Take a minute or two, take 5 minutes, whatever you feel. Lord, I just bless them. We're going to begin to see your goodness fall upon them. And just begin to pray. Open up a doorway for me to have a conversation with this person. May I be, may I be a conduit of the goodness of God over them. I love it. Just to close, Angela was telling me quickly a story. We prayed for prodigals on Friday night. Was that Friday night? Friday night, and I'm not sure if she was up there or not, but she went home, and it was either that night. Was it that night or Saturday morning? Saturday morning, she got a text from somebody that she's been really praying, talking to for a long time, and she's actually a complete atheist, actually into witchcraft, Wicca, and but she had texted her and said, my husband had a miracle. Well, you don't use the word miracle. So her prayers are starting to have an impact and her speaking over her. And so isn't that awesome? Her husband actually had something in his eye. He had an accident and he couldn't see very well. And he woke up the next day and was able to see more than he's ever been able to see before. Isn't that awesome? And so, you know, that's a great way to go. That's the goodness of God, whether you realize it or not. So, okay, so you got the assignment, right? Okay, two or three people. If you're like eager at this and you're stirred on, find nine. Yeah, that's great. Go for nine. But, you know, baby steps. For some of us, baby steps. Two to three people in different categories. Who in my family can I pray for? Who in my workplace can I pray for? And maybe who in the people that I bump into on a regular basis. You know, they may not be in your workplace. They may be in the supermarket. You just always, maybe there's the meat guy. The guy that always seems to cut your meat. You know, and you go to, say, Shinkles or somewhere, like whatever it would be. And we'll start there, amen? I love that. Grace, favor, and everything we need to be successful in ministry are given to us to accomplish our task when we are within our metron. So why don't you stand up? You know, what if in the next 2 years, like, can you imagine the change that would happen if in the next 2 years we really got a vision to reach 9 people? Right? To reach 9 people. And that we would reach 9 people, and that's the other stat that Stephen said, that we'd reach 9 people and they wouldn't walk away. You know? Because sometimes we do see that, and it's very hard for an evangelist that brings people into the kingdom, or any of us, I should say, that we bring somebody in. I've had that happen personally, poured into somebody for a few years, and then they walked away. That's heartbreaking. So we want to see people get well-grounded. That's what Ahsoka is about. We are creating courses that we can help teach and bring foundations. But man, can you imagine the change that would happen in Essex County if 9 people... Let's just assume that there's 100 people in this room. That's 900 people. And then you start adding on, if they as disciples get the vision, you know, how quickly multiplication happens. 900 times 9. You know, and it just keeps growing exponentially. And so thank you, Stephen, for putting simplicity to something that can seem very big. Right? And that's a grace upon his life to help us in this season. And we say, thank you, Lord. So Father God, we thank you that we are going to see change. It's a great word that we're turning a corner. We can't always see what's around the corner. And once we get around the corner, we can't actually see what's behind us anymore. So for some of you, you're like, amen, let's get around the corner. For others, it's like, I like this area, and if I get around the corner, it's a little scary. So Lord, I thank you we walk together arm in arm. We pray, Lord, that you would. We thank you for the promise of grace and favor to be upon our lives, and that we have everything we need to be successful to reach those in our metron, those in our sphere of influence. We say yes, thank you, and amen. We ask for favor, we ask for grace, and we ask for the anointing that you promise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.